The great record in Matthew, chapter 4. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, to Jesus, he said, If thou be the Son of God. I want to tell you, the devil knew who he was. Maybe the theologians don't, a lot of others, but the devil knew. He was the Son of what? He wasn't God, he was what? Soup is soup, apple butter is apple butter, remember? Peanuts are what? That's right. Son of God is what? That's right. We got that settled? Good. He said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, Jesus answered and said, It is what? Written. He went back to God's word. He went back to God's word to give him the answer. It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I believe all of us know that one of the foundations of life is self-preservation. This is a buying motive or something, I don't know. Bill Mays teaches all that. I don't know anything about that. All I know is what the Word says. And the Word here talks about the adversary saying to Jesus Christ, he wanted him to make these stones into bread, and Jesus said, It's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But again, it's self-preservation. Man has to have physical food. Sooner or later, got to have a little of it anyway, to sustain life, to preserve yourself. And that is where usually the temptations begin. On the self-preservation category, it's in the physical realm. Things that will be meaningful to you, that will inflate you, that will make it better for you. Hear people say sometimes they want their children to have it easier than they have. That's a bunch of baloney. You don't need it easier than your parents had. Because if your parents are so good to make it, you're just as good as they are, you can make it too. Right. We don't need it easy. We just need the knowledge and the discipline to carry it out. The second great reality begins in verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up in the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it's written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It's written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy what? So not only is it physical, but it's spiritual in the self-preservation. He said, Look, you can get up here on top, you can jump down. If you really are what they say you are, the Son of God, nothing's going to happen to you. And he said, Look, you don't do stupid things like that, because then you'd be tempting the Lord your God. Try. Go stand on top of where we'll barn after I get through teaching. You're way up on top of there and stand at the south end and say, Look, I'm a Christian. I'm going to jump down. You'll break your fool neck. That's what you'll do. Right. What's going to happen to you? All the praying in the world's not going to change that particular spot on the blacktop. It's you. Right. Now the unbeliever stands up there, and if he jumps, he'll make a spot too. See? These laws are set with a mathematical exactness and scientific precision. Verse 8 says, The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the what? Kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. That's a good one. Huh? The glory. Just imagine owning New Knoxville. Adolf's or something. Then imagine owning the state of Ohio. And then finally include Indiana, Kentucky, all the kingdom. Your mind can't fathom them. It just doesn't click. Doesn't in mine either, so don't worry about it. Right. All the kingdoms of the world. And the glory. Man, oh man, oh man. That's something. Thought about this last night when I walked through and it had TV on. There was something news on or something about, the Americans reporting from Saudi Arabia about the shortage of energy, oil, and stuff. I thought it was sort of neat what those Americans said. They said, we haven't gotten anything out of Israel as long as we supported them. Why don't we try Saudi Arabia? At least we're getting oil. But see, we can't afford to do that because of the kingdoms of the world and how they're stacked. But I thought that American was maybe a little sharp. Well, what have you gotten back out of Israel? Saudi Arabia at least has oil, and we're getting it there, or did. Can't get any out of Israel, wouldn't give you any, wouldn't sell you any. But you see, you can get so emaciated in the medias and the culture and conditioned by what people talk about, what you read, what you see on TV, that you never have a real good mental balance that you can see sharply. That's what the adversary tried to do to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, he really hit him on the big things like self-preservation, like recognition. You know, everybody wants to be recognized. You want to be recognized. What's your first name? Lee. Suppose I run around, I've seen him 16 times, and I say, Henry. He wouldn't like it, right? Well, I wouldn't either. His name's not Henry, it's what? See? Look, I did a teaching once on what's in a name. Did this a century ago, almost. It's real interesting what's in a name. Really, I guess. The word Jacob means supplanter, one who beats you out of everything. You know, Old Testament Jacob guy. God said to him one day, look, I'm going to give you a new name, and your name's going to be Israel from now on. That's the way you're going to live. And Israel means one blessed of God. What's it literally mean? Oh, well, that's what it means. One blessed of God, or one who walks with God, Israel. One with God. Jacob means supplanter. What's in a name? Well, I want to tell you, the name, your name is the sweetest thing to your ears. You can talk BP Whirlwind all you want to. It ain't sweet to your ears at all. But the sweetest thing to your name is Lee. It ought to be. If you're not proud of your name, if that isn't sweet, then there's something wrong with you. Because if you in your own mind are not sweet upon yourself and amount to anything, you can't expect anybody else to be sweet on you and think you amount to anything. So you need that recognition. I wrote a letter of apology to one of our way grads this week because my financial department had two or three letters asking them to change it. They never changed it and sent a thank you to the wrong people for the one who was giving the money. Same general family name, but entirely different address. And I'm thinking, I don't blame her for getting upset. If I was supporting the Way International and sent three checks up here and they always sent it back to my dad and thanked him for my giving it, I'd finally say, what's the use? Send it up there. They can't keep any records. If they can't keep any records, they can't do any good in God's word either. I'd most likely quit after the second check. But praise God, we got a lot of people put up with our shortcomings up here, and we got them by the barrel full, the shortcomings. But they love us in spite of who we are, and praise God for it, because we do try to do a good job. We don't always do it, but we try to. But I thought of this. There's that person. All she wanted was the recognition. She had sent it. She's entitled to it. It's the same principle I teach in the foundational class. If you can stand outside of this building and jump over the top of it, you're not bragging. Right. But if you stand outside of this building and tell me you can jump off the top of it, you can't get 2 inches off the ground when you jump. Man, you're blowing it. You're lying like a trooper. That's right. Recognition. You're entitled to it. You need it. It's part of life, like self-preservation. It makes you, as a man, a real man, as a woman, a real woman. God built you that way. But it's not the type of recognition that you have to buy with power or money, which is simply a shadow. You've got to have something deeper than that, and the depth of that is in His Word. It is written, the Word of God. That's the greatness. Verse 9 says, "And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and do what? Worship me." That is the par excellence, the magna cum laude, the summa bonum, or whatever that stupid stuff all is, of the whole thing in power. Money buys power. Power is what they're after. That people will do what? Worship. Salam. You know.